produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, I am Chief Chi of South Africa, and you are listening to the Need for Liberty radio broadcast.
Yes. Yes. Come on and let it ring out. Yes. 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 Hallelujah. Yes. 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 Sister, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yeah.
Go to Philippians chapter 14. Philippians chapter 14. Y'all looking for it, ain't? See, I was gonna see how many of y'all done got to Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Come on. I mean, one day he just got up and I told him, all right, turn your Bibles to Hezekiah, chapter 9. Four. 5 minutes later, they was dead. Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 10. It reads, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me had flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, but to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I just want to stop right there and just talk to you from the topic entitled, Being Satisfied in Christ. I just want to go here just for a few moments, noting the fact that we live in some strange days. Matter of fact, we live amongst some strange folk with some strange ideas. Lifestyle has some strange patterns. And you encounter so many different things from one moment to the next moment, until sometimes you're left into a state of wonderment, what's going to be next. We find out that so many people that even though they have been raised even in the church realm, and most of the people in here has a strong church background, but we find out now that with so many things that are attacking the people of God, that we're becoming disheveled and we're becoming antsy and not becoming as rooted as we once were. I've said it at Liberty so many times that Satan has a very uncanny way of trying to cause God's people to be distracted. And he could not use anything to distract the folk of God people other than use something that they are familiar with. And most of the time, it's something that has influence. If you want to know one thing, that God bless all of the preachers and those that watch by the television broadcast and even listening by means of radio, must get to the point and to the realization that a preacher is one of the greatest assets a person can run into. But also, there are two things on this planet that can kill more folk at one time than anything else, and that's a preacher and an airplane pilot. Both of them have a lot of lives under their charge, and they can destroy them at one time, mostly than anything else. You got to understand that people now are becoming dissatisfied with so many things that have surrounded the church arena. We see things that are rapidly changing, and then we are being influenced by people of influence. And that's where we began to rely upon them more so than we do the Word of God. I've just made it up in my mind, and I've told God that, listen, God, it's not popular to deal with certain subjects. It's not popular to deal with certain things and tactics that the world has already established their platform, and to be abrasive against it. It does not put you into a strong form of popularity and likelihood. People will just now pick out what they want out of the Bible to make them feel justified, but refuse to eat the whole word. This word is right. When it's all over with, this Bible is going to stand. When it's all over with, the Word of God is going to remain true. And I know that when we look at even the law of the lands now, how it has changed, and the things that basically, even what this nation was supposedly built upon, now that has been totally almost extracted out of the mindset of the people of this land. And so we're just free for all. We just do it your way, however you feel, just do it. But any time that you begin to pull God out of the center and out of the head of the things that we do, we have placed ourselves in a complete danger zone. When the saints began to recognize that Satan, the master deceiver, and Jesus, it began to let us know that his job was to kill. He come to kill. He come to steal. He come to destroy. But Jesus had a but that he said, but I've come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. You all just lean on somebody, tell them, get a life. Yeah, a whole lot of folks just in everybody else's life but their own. Need to learn how to get a life. They worry about what happened next door. Worry about what happened down the street. Get you a life and learn how to be satisfied with what God has placed you in. There's so many things that can keep a person dissatisfied. Sometimes, you know, you come to church and you have such a wonderful time and even almost hate for them to dismiss, because when you get back home, you know them little demons be sitting on the couch. They be saying, they back when you pull up, and look like all everything gonna break loose the moment you walk. It just messes with you. It just does something to you when you try to take a step forward. Look like you get pushed back two or three. When you try to help somebody, look like you get dumped on. When you've been nice to folk, look like everybody just been abrasive toward you. But tell somebody, hang on in there. That God got a delivery date just for you. And what we must realize is that being satisfied with him is going to be, it must be your ultimate goal. Note, this thing cannot just be part-time, just something that we do in the interim. And then, church just got to be more than a one day of a week episode. Church got to be every day. You don't hear what I'm saying. When you wake up in the morning, look like you ought to thank God for the dawn of another day. Before you can go in there and look in that mirror and scare yourself, you all just tell God, you know, that, listen, you've been good to me. You watched over me all night long. And it was nobody but you that kept me clothed. You still know your name when you get up. You know, that's enough to tell God thanks for right there. May not have too much in the refrigerator, but God yet been kind to you. Y'all can testify. Tell somebody he's been good to me. And what you must note, that there's some things that we got to do to remain satisfied in him. You got to work out your own salvation. And that's not talking about cooking chicken in the kitchen, working out salvation. That's not what that's talking about. But every time that look like you're dumped on, you can't dump back. You working on something right then. Hello, somebody. You don't stay at home just because you ain't got no money to put into the offering. Matter of fact, you ought to be the first person at church. You ought to be saying, let me in the door. I got to get to the altar. You ought to be the first person here. Hallelujah. You don't let things control you. In other words, the elements of this world will control you if you don't allow the Spirit of God to reign in your life. God is the one that gives us the directive. Where even when the Supreme Court get through making their rulings on this, that, and the other, when it's all over with, God is going to speak. And that's one thing that we got to recognize. So when I deal with this particular story here, Paul's message here to the Philippians, it was not one that was really written in the comfort of his home, nor was this message written in the point that he had the security of freedom. Nor even was this letter written in the presence of a relaxed atmosphere. But this letter was written from within the walls of a prison. It is said that Paul's confinement in prison lasted about 4 years. And during this confinement, Paul wrote a total of 4 different letters. He sent a packet of 3 letters to Asia Minor. One was sent to Philemon, the one was sent to the Colossians, and the other was sent to the Ephesians. Now, the 4th letter was written to the Philippians, and now throughout history itself, collectively, these particular 4 letters have been called the prison epistles. Now, being that Paul was characterized as an important prisoner, it is possible that he was chained 24 hours a day to a guard. And at this time, the custom was for prisoners to lie on the floor while being chained to a guard and being straddled by another guard in order to prevent escape. So this leads us to believe that Paul's writings was under extreme difficult circumstances. But even in the midst of these dark circumstances, the unpleasant conditions, this was not a letter of depression, nor was this a letter of self-pity, but this was a letter of great joy, a letter of encouragement and spiritual instruction and guidance. In looking at this 4th chapter of Philippians, Paul is telling us that our sufficiency is in Christ. Letting us know if we're going to be satisfied in anything, it ought to be in Christ. Matter of fact, the word sufficient simply means to satisfy or to meet the needs of or satisfy the needs of. Now in reading this letter, we see what joy in Christ had withstood the battering and the bombardment of the deepest difficulties in which man can experience. But neither prison nor Paul's treacherous colleagues or his misleading associates nor the threat of death could even sink Paul. For Paul learned that his strong confidence in Jesus can sustain the believer in the midst of the greatest crisis of life. Now, after all of Paul's tests and trials, Paul can report with assurance after being tested in the different laboratories of life that his sufficiency is in Christ. Now, how frequently are we, as people of God ourselves, we are prone to sigh and begin to say, if only this circumstance or if only this situation was different, then I would be content. If I had a few more dollars, if I had a man, if I had a woman, then would I be content? Better job, you don't hear what I'm saying, better riding a car, I would be content. If I had to find clothes, if I can put my foot in the sand and just walk on the shores and bask in the sun, then would I be content? But I just submit to you that those of you that are going through hard times and have some hard places, you need to know that Christ is able, and not only able, but he will sustain you no matter what you may be called on to endure in this world. And that is just the point that Paul is sharing here with the Philippian Christians who, like him, had considered and had endured really many afflictions. But the saints had a message, and that is that the saints can live triumphantly, regardless of the bleakness and disappointing circumstances that you are confronted with. You ought to help me right there. Tell somebody there is sufficiency in Christ. Yeah, circumstances can be transcended, but when the world is going to pieces, you don't hear what I'm saying. The saints' quiet testimony, and it becomes a quiet confidence to the world to let them know that there is a real Christ. Now, this letter that may be the gospel in this fan is our, and we got to come to the realization that here we have faith in work in the rough and tough and tumble of a broken world.
So many wonder how I survived. I can't say it was easy, but I'm still alive. God never left me, he stayed by my side, and I am so grateful he kept me. Oh,
God held me together, made sure that I knew my mind.
Not this time.
Not this time.
Through all my struggles.
Through all my struggles.
It get hard sometimes, y'all.
Disappointments too.
Still here, you held me together. reached out your hand and pulled me through. I'm so glad for your grace, 'cause that's why I'm still here. By your grace,
by your grace,
that
I'm still here.
If you ever want to testify tonight, take a minute and look back over your life. See all the Lord brought you from here. Oh, you realize that He was right there all of the time. You gotta know that you're never alone. Yes, you are never in this thing by yourself. She did a good job of raising me. My daddy made me, and he taught me how to be a man. But I can't give him the credit for saving me, and I can't give him the credit for filling me, because it all belongs to you, Jesus. So I lift my hands and say,
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.